Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to keep going on this slavery series that's going forever. We are getting closer to the end. We're getting much closer to the end. But anyway, today we're going to talk a little bit more about the treatment of female slaves. And so with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. So what does this woman get out of it? This woman who is a slave of war? She gets a chance to marry. She gets a chance to live, a chance to be taken care of, because let's face it, women had a very difficult time taking care of themselves back then than they do now. It was a lot harder for a woman to make ends meet back then because of just the society back then. You couldn't find a desk job. It was hard for a woman to find a job in the field, work in fields, manual labor type jobs. I mean, let's face it, women don't have the muscles that guys do, so they had a harder time getting a job. They couldn't work machines because machines weren't around back then. So I know this is a little offensive, but it is what it is. It was hard for a woman to find a job back then. And so here we have a woman being taken care of, she's allowed to marry, she's given children, which is what every woman wants, is to be able to love and to nurture and to raise children. Not only that, they have children who will ensure that that woman in the future will have somebody to help and take care of them, right? What if the master dies? What if the master dies and whoever the next of kin is not a good guy and he's a schmuck? And she ends up out on the street. She's got her kids. She's got a chance. She's got, I hate to say it this way, but she's got a life insurance plan. She's got a team, a group of people, a family that can band together and try to make it in a cruel, unfortunate, bad situation. You know what I mean? So there is that aspect. Her children may have the opportunity to go free someday. That master might latch on her children and think, this is my son and daughter. I love this child. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to give them some of my land, some of my flock, and they are going to be to me just a Hebrew child. And so there was that opportunity, which was wonderful. And we see instance after instance in history, and I believe even in the Bible, where these foreigner slave women would eventually, after a few generations, you wouldn't even know the difference. Their descendants were basically Hebrews. Wouldn't even know the difference. And that is awesome too. These Gentile people would be grafted in to the Hebrew people. These women were loved and treated well, respected and treated like wives. And if they were not, okay, the typical laws of the Old Testament applied to them. You were supposed to love people and treat them well. Okay? You don't kill them. You don't beat them. You don't mistreat them. You don't rape them. All right? They were to be treated well. Let's move on. I want to look at polygamy in the Bible, because that verse out of Exodus touched on polygamy. And I don't want to make a whole podcast out of this. I'm going to do a series on this eventually. Probably touch on the subject multiple times, because Mormonism really likes the idea of polygamy. I mean, they can't do it nowadays, but they're very friendly to the idea because, well, let's face it, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young taught it. But polygamy in the Bible, what is up with that? All right. Polygamy is not God's plan. God's plan is for one man and one woman. Again, I'm not going to go real deep into this, okay? Eventually, I'll do a series, and we'll look at a whole bunch of scriptures on this, okay? But all of you guys know, just shooting from the hip here, you guys know that God's intention for marriage is one man and one wife. Now, we also know, science has figured out nowadays that genetically speaking, more women are born than men. Not much, but the percentage of women versus men being born is a little bit off. Women are born more than men. Not by very much, but they are. So when you multiply that small percentage change by millions of people, you're going to have a lot more women than men. All right, let's take it to the next level. Let's face it, guys. We don't live as long as the women. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe it's because we're always busting our back and doing stupid stuff, trying to work really hard. I don't know. But men seldom outlive women. So there's that problem. Now we have this off ratio of guys dying before the ladies. And when guys are out in the field or building buildings, they're more likely to die at work as well. Well, the women are home taking care of the kids or whatever. All right. So again, we're not talking about this is God's perfect will here. We're talking about, oh gosh, things didn't go as planned. Now we got a lot of women who do not have husbands. They don't have a means to take care of them type situation. What about war? We touched on that earlier. These women, oftentimes in times of war, well, you know, in war, who gets slaughtered? Almost always, it's the men. Okay. All right. So in these times of war, you have all this excess of women. You have, and sometimes it had to do with just the fact that Hebrew men would go out to defend their own country, to defend their own countrymen, and a lot of them wouldn't come home. So there was this great gulf between the percentage or the numbers of men versus women. And so there were times where in order for a woman to have a chance, she would have to marry into a polygamous situation where one man had many wives. Again, this is not God's perfect will. But when you have all these women who have really not much of a way to support themselves, the best situation they can have, I mean, really, at that point, we're not talking about the best situation, but a close second to the best situation is to find a rich guy who can take them in and not use them as a sex slave, friends. And by the way, I just want to mention, in the Old Testament, rape was strictly forbidden. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 through 27. Rape was forbidden. Deuteronomy chapter 3, 17 and 18. Prostitution was forbidden. Okay? And sex out of marriage. Again, that is fornication. It is forbidden. So these women were not taken in. They were not married to be, you know, wives that you could just kind of, you know, like your concubines. You just show up and have sex with them and leave them. This was a situation where these women wanted this situation so that they could raise a family. And again, women love children. Well, so do guys, but you get my point, right? These women wanted to have children. They wanted to have these children they could raise. And yes, that was also a life insurance plan for them when they got older. If things got sour for whatever reason and things didn't go very well for them, they still had their family. Okay? And this is a fact of history that unmarried women in this situation, you know, would end up either in slavery or prostitution. I'm not, again, this is not God prescribing women to, hey, either you marry into a polygamous family or you become a sex slave or a prostitute. No, but God knew that that's what happens. That's what would happen to a lot of these women. And so rather than choose that, they choose to marry into a polygamous family. They find a good guy who's got a lot of money. He's wealthy. He's able to give them children and take care of them and give them a chance at life, even though they've had a bad hand dealt. All right. So again, not the perfect situation, but but an opportunity. All right. You don't have to like it. In fact, I hate it. The whole situation stinks, okay? I'll be honest with you. I mean, first of all, war. War is tragic. I mean, the things that happen in war. And then you have the people that live through the war, these women and children, and they've lost their fathers and their brothers, and they're by themselves. And then they get taken captive. Again, from their perspective, this stinks, okay? I mean, they're taken away from their homeland, and they're brought into Israel or Judah or wherever they end up, okay? And then here they are, given to a family. And after a proper amount of time has passed and they've mourned, they get married and they're in this situation where, you know, in this situation where they're just one of a few wives or many wives, and they're deprived of that love and that cherishing that women deserve. Well, okay, I don't want to get into that deserve mentality, but women crave, okay? They don't get that now in a polygamous situation oftentimes. I mean, that, I guess, would be kind of weird no matter what. But the whole situation stinks, okay? It's weird. It's not right. But what are you going to do? I mean, come on, guys. Let's face it. The war's over. They're not going to make it. I mean, what? You know, they're going to try and survive in that situation. They are captives of war, first of all. You don't want them mounting a rebellion. But then they are given a chance to live, and they're given a chance to survive. And those women, yes, they're put in a polygamous situation. Some, okay, let's keep this in context. Some of them will be put in a polygamous situation. But they're given a place to live. They're fed. They're taken care of. They're supposed to be loved. Okay. That might not happen every time, but they're supposed to be loved. They're supposed to be treated as a wife, and they're given children. These children they're able to raise as a mother does, loving those children, and they're still given that family. All right. Again, it's weird. It's screwed up, but that's what happens, okay? War stinks, and it is what it is, and they're still given that opportunity to have a semi-normal life after a very destructive thing happens, okay? And God shows his mercy through a really bad situation. So I think that's a good place to stop. Again, these are not sex slaves, okay? They're not to be raped. They're not to be taken advantage of. You cannot have sex outside of marriage. Again, that is God's law, okay? If people break that law, that's a whole other thing, okay? That's against the Bible. And at that point, you can attack the person, but you can't attack the Bible. You can't rape them. You can't take advantage of them. Sex outside of marriage, that is fornication, and it is forbidden. So, all right, I think I'm talking in circles now, and so that's a good place to stop. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave comments and questions. I continue to have more and more of you guys are contacting me, and I'm able to talk to you and find out where you're at and what you guys are looking for in the future, and I'm loving it. It's exciting, and anyway, you guys can also hook up with me on Facebook and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.